A 25-year-old black man in my hometown of Wilson is in jail for shooting a 5-year-old white boy. The boy was on his bicycle. Apparently, he rode onto the man's grass. The kid was just 5 years old. He was no threat to this man, and yet the shooter walked over to this boy, placed a gun against his head, and killed him. Where are the rioters, the looters, the arsonists? Where are the mobs shouting, "White Lives Matter"? Where is the mainstream media who ignore this or barely mention it at all? As a white man, I'm supposed to stand up for the lives of blacks, and I do. Where is the black community to stand up for the lives of whites killed by police or blacks, especially a 5-year-old boy? This week's commentary in a moment, but first, the fake mainstream media had the gall to put a radical black woman with multicolored hair on the nightly news offering excuses for the looters in downtown Chicago this week. The target of these rioters and looters were top-end stores like Dior and Rolex. But this dizzy woman tried to tell us that these were just hungry people looking for food and clothes in a pandemic. Since they were not looting grocery stores, we can only assume that they were looting to resell the stolen goods to buy food and clothing. Dollar General has food, as well as dollar stores. But these looters in Chicago did not break into them. That's where the food was. We are supposed to buy the argument that the rioters, looters, and arsonists are only swiping big-screen TVs and cases of liquor because they're hungry. We're also supposed to forgive the shooters and murderers in these Democrat-run cities because they come from broken homes and possibly had an ancestor who was a slave more than 150 years ago. That is the progressive mentality. These are anarchists that not one Democrat in Congress will condemn. They are the radicals that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are excusing. They fear losing one vote from the black community for speaking up against the rioters. Meanwhile, the poor black neighborhoods are losing their grocery stores, their restaurants, and drug stores to arsonists. Many of these black folks lack transportation to go to outlying areas for their necessities. Their world is turned upside down. First, the coronavirus, and then the looting and burning of their neighborhood stores. These are not white supremacists who are doing this, and it is not white supremacists who are killing black people in their own neighborhoods every weekend. It's not white supremacists who are slaughtering black babies in Planned Parenthood abortion mills. Those black lives matter too, but nobody is protesting against those black lives lost. They're too busy protesting the rare black life taken in a police action. I credit USSA News for its research, which I will use in my own research and commentary today. Joe Biden has finally announced his vice president pick after months of scratching his nose and trying to extricate himself from a rock and a hard place. Progressive Democrats made it impossible for Biden to even consider an open field for his vice president pick. He was locked in to naming a woman whose skin was black. Biden had already sold his soul to the far left in order to get the presidential nomination in the first place. He drew closer to Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez than a Speedo on a fat man. Progressives have Biden just where they want him. They play a tune and Biden tap dances to it. It is hard to believe that our country has fallen so far that a vice presidential pick must be made based on gender and skin color. But that was the only avenue progressive Democrats left open for Biden. It is offensive to me and should be offensive to any patriotic American, black or white, that Biden's vice presidential pick was preordained. In the last few days, some 100 black Americans signed a letter to Biden, letting him know that if he chose anyone else, regardless of qualifications, other than a black woman, he would not be elected. What does that tell us about the future? Will gays demand a gay vice president from the next office holder? Will terrorists demand to name the next office holder, or they're going to rain down terror on us? The list of groups is unending. What happens if white people demand that only a white male be considered for office? Cities would be on fire and protesters looting stores. So Joe Biden folded under pressure and named Kamala Harris as his vice presidential pick. This is the same Kamala Harris that Democrats themselves turned down as a presidential nominee just a short time ago. Now they want us to put her just steps away from the presidency. I find it ironic that the same Democrats who demand that statues and monuments of slave owners be torn down are trying to put a descendant of slave owners on a pedestal. A Democrat who is a descendant of slave owners and who hypocritically calls for reparations for slavery. According to her father, Kamala Harris is descended from a notorious Irish slave owner named Hamilton Brown, the namesake of Brownstown in Jamaica, who recruited massive numbers of Irish immigrants to Jamaica to work on his sugar plantations after the British Empire abolished slavery. If white Americans are to be held responsible for their ancestors who owned slaves more than 150 years ago, then Kamala Harris should be held responsible for her ancestral past. Let's be clear. Kamala Harris is not an African American. Her father was a Jamaican. Her mother was from India. Jamaicans have never considered themselves African Americans. Claiming to be an African American is just the latest lie put forth by Kamala Harris. Moreover, Democrats have spent almost 4 years regurgitating charges of sexual misconduct by Donald Trump. And so now they have to be reminded of the sexual history of Kamala Harris. For Democrats crying, "No fair," when Harris's past is mentioned, it is only fair to hold her to the same standards as they hold Trump. It's obvious that Democrats will try to keep Kamala Harris's past a secret. Anyone who questions her is a racist. As a black woman, she is not beyond reproach. But if there ever was a swamp creature in Washington, D.C., it's Kamala Harris. In fact, she is the poster politician for all swamp creatures. Democrats will be quick to divert our attention away from this, but Harris got her start in 1994 by having an affair with slimy Willie Brown, who was serving as the California Assembly Speaker and then became mayor of San Francisco. Brown was 60 years old. Harris was 29, half his age, when their affair began. Harris was so brazen that she came out publicly as his date at his 60th birthday party, despite his wife of 36 years being in attendance. She had no qualms about embarrassing Brown's wife. Harris slept with Brown for one reason. She used the corrupt San Francisco mayor to launch her rise to power. The Daily Caller reported, quote, "As Brown's time as Speaker drew to a close in 1994, he named Harris to the California Medical Assistance Commission, a job that came with a $72,000 annual salary. Brown had previously reported her to the State Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board for being put on that board. Harris was described by people at the Capitol as Brown's girlfriend, the Los Angeles Times reported at the time. Although that job paid nearly $98,000, Harris's term was set to expire in 5 weeks when Brown tapped her for the Medical Assistance Commission slot. That body met only monthly, and the $72,000 position was not even considered a full-time job. Willie Brown is a sleazebag who led one of the most corrupt mayoral offices ever seen in San Francisco. But that was fine with Harris, who went on to steal the election for California's Attorney General in 2010. Los Angeles District Attorney Steve Cooley led Harris by 34,000 votes after more than 7 million had been counted. But after provisional ballots were counted, she was declared the winner by approximately 50,000 votes. At one point, Cooley was up by 62,000 votes. And in panic mode, Harris reached out to her good buddy, California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, whose role was to certify the votes. And that's when thousands of Cooley's votes just disappeared. Kamala Harris's path to power is strewn with illicit affairs and fraudulent elections, and in desperation, she once paid Maxine Waters' daughter $63,000 to appear on mailers with anti-Maxine, who had endorsed Harris, the Washington Free Beacon reported. The payments were made from Harris's campaign committee and transferred to Maxine Waters' committee through a lucrative slate mailer operation run by Waters' daughter, a program that proved profitable for both the daughter and the Waters campaign. Liberal loons are grasping at straws on social media, hailing Harris as the savior they need. And anyone who questions their new it girl gets called a racist or misogynist. It is clear what Biden and the Democrats plan to do with Harris. They'll use her gender and skin color to try and make her immune from criticism. But if Harris is to be steps away from the presidency, she has to be held to the same standards as Trump. World leaders will not cut Harris any slack because she's a black woman. Since Biden can't be let loose to speak without blathering, Harris will be the go-to spokesperson. I watched just a little bit of the Harris-Biden press conference last Wednesday. When it became apparent that the two of them would lie over and over again, I shut the TV off. Watching Harris play up to Biden by using his dead son's memory was painful. I watched as Biden again attacked Donald Trump for not doing more against COVID-19. It's a claim Biden has made many times. But Joe Biden has never said what he would do against COVID-19 that Donald Trump has not already done. The few things that Biden has mentioned were things Trump has already accomplished. This coronavirus is a worldwide pandemic that sprang on us from China. It is no more Trump's pandemic than Biden's or Harris's. To use this misery for political purposes shows just how far Democrats are willing to go to regain power. Biden's forced pick makes Harris much closer to being president, especially considering Biden's advanced age. Biden himself has questioned his ability to serve 4 years in the Oval Office. There is ample evidence that Joe Biden has diminished mental faculties, and that makes his vice president fair game. Harris is a vindictive culture warrior who would wield the power of the federal government against the people and institutions she does not like, including religious schools, gun owners, and local governments. She is a divisive and unlikable figure whose presence on the ticket will energize the religious right and sway many independents. And any time you want to take Harris down a peg, just go back and watch the video of Tulsi Gabbard gutting Harris like a fish on national television. What evidence that Harris is disliked? Look at how she tanked in the polls as soon as she got national exposure during the Democrat debates. Throughout her presidential run, Gallup never found her to have higher favorables than unfavorables. Kamala Harris is a radical progressive. She shifts opinions faster than the Santa Ana winds shift currents. Where is Harris on policy? It's hard to say, given that she tends to hedge her bets, as on Medicare. Harris originally said that she supported Senator Bernie's Medicare for All bill, but then announced in August 2019 that she was not comfortable with it. What does that mean? She is either for Bernie's cockamamie Medicare for All bill, or she's against it. She has to now come clean one way or the other. On immigration, Harris has said she wants to re-examine and potentially overhaul immigration and customs enforcement. She is for open borders and has called the hard-working ICE agents who labor to keep illegal immigrants out of this country the KKK. She joins Biden in promising to make some 11 million illegal aliens citizens if the two of them are elected. That would put these illegal immigrants in pursuit of American jobs at a time when jobs are already scarce. They also want to make those millions of illegal aliens eligible to receive benefits like Social Security and free health care. It's all about the Democrat votes these illegal immigrants would bring with them. Harris supports the Obama administration's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which protects young people who come to the United States illegally as children. She opposes the border wall, which she's called a medieval vanity project. Left to her own devices, Harris would throw open the borders to any and everyone who wants to come here, and whether they want to assimilate into our society or to bring terrorism to our shores. Drug dealers and human traffickers would be able to roam across the border freely. In February 2019, Harris signed on to the preposterous New Green Deal that Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders concocted to virtually bankrupt America. She hopes to transition the United States to 100% clean and renewable energy in 10 years. That car you're driving now would be obsolete. In September, Harris laid out her climate plan to make the United States carbon neutral by 2045, which would cost $10 trillion in private and public investment. No more cars, trains, buses, or automobiles. She said she would direct the Department of Justice to prosecute fossil fuel companies that now supply us with gas and oil. Harris supports the right to an abortion and voted against a bill in the Senate that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. At 5 months, a human being is perfectly formed in its mother's womb. Slaughtering a perfectly formed human being is murder, pure and simple. Harris was the lead Democrat attack dog during the Kavanaugh hearings. She grilled Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh on his position on abortion during his 2018 confirmation hearing. She was the nasty, snarling attack dog that embarrassed herself by attacking a man with false information. She tried to destroy Brett Kavanaugh and his family. Harris never explains how her harebrained schemes will be paid for. Her broad paid leave plan leaves new parents and other caregivers with up to 6 months of paid-off work. As someone who has hired hundreds of people, I can tell you that if your position at work can remain viable without you for 6 months, your value to that company is suspect. Harris supports legalized same-sex marriage. She supported transgender people's right to use the bathroom of their choice during her time as Attorney General. Harris has signed on to Sanders's College for All Act, which would waive tuition for all students attending public colleges and universities whose families make $125,000 a year or less, including illegal aliens. Harris is anti-gun and supports an immediate ban on so-called assault weapons and on the sale of high-capacity magazines. On criminal justice reform, Harris introduced the 2018 Access to Counsel Act, which would guarantee detained immigrants access to an attorney at taxpayer expense. She has bragged about putting thousands in jail for marijuana use, and then hypocritically laughed about having smoked marijuana herself during the same time she was jailing these people. Kamala Harris supports a moratorium on the death penalty and has called executions immoral, discriminatory, ineffective, and a gross misuse of tax dollars. But the executive branch has no authority over the vast majority of executions. They're carried out by states. As Attorney General, Harris would not pursue the death penalty for a man who killed a California police officer. She also defended the convictions of dozens of people, even after they had been proven not guilty. If we're looking for content of character, it is not apparent in Kamala Harris. She is for creating national standards for police conduct, lowering the prison population, raising standards for the treatment of prisoners, and ending mandatory prison sentences. She's also for abolishing private prisons. As you might expect, Harris opposes the Trump trade war with China and his tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from the European Union, Canada, and Mexico. Yet, she has accused China of engaging in unfair industrial policies and outright theft of American intellectual property. She also opposed Trump's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal. On taxes, she's introduced her Lift the Middle Class Act, which would give a $3,000 refundable tax credit to people making $50,000 or less a year, and a $6,000 credit to couples making $100,000 or less. She has said she would get rid of some cuts in Trump's tax cuts and his Jobs Act to pay for what she just described. That plan would cost $2.8 trillion over a decade. In July 2019, Harris proposed providing up to 4 million black families whose neighborhoods have historically been redlined or discriminated against with up to $25,000 to help them buy a home. My own parents were redlined and discriminated against because they were poor, and they had to deal with multiple finance companies to stay afloat. Nobody suggested giving them $25,000 to buy a home. When polls ask respondents ranked how far to the left or to the right they considered the candidates, Kamala Harris was generally considered to be the most left-leaning candidate in the field, somewhat in contrast to her prosecutorial history, but plausibly owing to a push from her campaign to appeal to left-leaning voters. How vicious is Kamala Harris? How hypocritical? I mentioned her laughing about using marijuana even as she was prosecuting others, mostly blacks. In the primary, she viciously attacked Joe Biden. She practically called Biden a racist and told the American people she believed the women who were accusing Biden of improper conduct against them. Yet, Harris was all too willing to sign up as the pervert she was describing's vice president. There is no end to the hypocrisy of Kamala Harris. Whatever it takes to move up the political totem pole, whether that means sharing the sheets with Willie Brown and several others, or waffling on issues, or holding her forked tongue long enough to sign on with Biden. The addition of Kamala Harris to the Democrat ticket in November is, in my opinion, a detriment for all the reasons I mentioned in this commentary. Joe Biden is yesterday's news, and even yesterday he couldn't make the front page. Anyone who believes that Biden's strings won't be pulled by the far-left radicals like Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, and Ilhan Omar have simply not been paying attention. Almost half a century in Washington, Joe Biden has been telling us that he is the one that has all the answers now and can solve all the problems. Those problems were created during Biden's time in Congress. He didn't have solutions then, and he doesn't have them now. And now we find another radical just steps away from the presidency. If Joe Biden was 20 years younger and in full control of his mental faculties, Harris would not be so dangerous. But Biden is not 20 years younger and has shown that he can barely string words together when not reading from a teleprompter. The Democrat Party has shown that its cupboard is bare. Voters must ask why Democrats cannot offer a legitimate option against Trump. Hillary Clinton? Joe Biden? I will vote for Trump, but even if I was open to someone else, the Democrats offer less than 20 cents in change from a dollar. I thank you for listening today. I'd like to hear from you with your thoughts. You can email me at tom@tomjoyner.net. That's tom@tomjoyner.net. Whether you agree with me or not, I'd like to hear from you. I put a great deal of time into research and recording of my commentaries, and it is input from you that keeps me going. I'll be back again next week, God willing, and God bless America.